Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast, a podcast where we explore God's vast love for all of us, as well as current and relevant prophetic insight to enrich your soul. Now, here is Patricia King.
Wow, what an exciting day that we are living in. It's a powerful time in church history, but a very treacherous one indeed, because we see so many things going on in the world, so many things being set up as standards that would oppose biblical standards. But in the midst of it all, God has a plan, and his eyes are moving to and fro throughout the earth to find hearts that are completely his, so that what? He can show himself strong on their behalf. And that's you, right? You're a heart that is fully after God, and you can expect the Lord to show himself strong on your behalf. I want to share a message this morning called Unoffendable. Unoffendable. In fact, you can all shout that out. Say, I'm unoffendable. I'm unoffendable. And I truly do believe that we are in the greatest hour for the church, at least as far as potential goes. And I saw a vision in this last week of an army coming out of heaven with the Lord. And it was you and I. It was those who knew our position in Christ, who were willing to contend for his kingdom to advance, whose hearts were completely sold out to him, consecrated vessels. And this army was overcoming it all, no matter what they faced, they were overcoming it all. And that's what we are to stand for, because that's who Jesus is. He overcame it all, and we are in him. And so there was this army that was living in the fullness of the glory of all that Christ had died on the cross to give us. It was really beautiful. And so in this hour, we need to see the church positioned to that plumb line, to that army that God is raising up, that consecrated body of believers who will not go to the right or to the left, but will go with God all the way. And one of the greatest disqualifiers for us living in the full victory of the Lord and in the full manifestation of Christ in the earth, because you're to be as Christ, you're to be just like Jesus, just full of love, full of power, full of wisdom, full of righteousness, full of truth, everything that Jesus is, that's what you are called to be. You are called to win every battle. You are called to overcome every obstacle. That is who you are in Christ. But one of the greatest disqualifiers of us walking in that is offense. And that's what I'd like to address today, so that we can overcome offense. And I think that you might actually identify some elements of this within your own life, and let's just keep our hearts open to the Lord, because there could be some major alignment today that will change your whole life, okay, and position you for the great things that God has for you. So I want to look, first of all, at offense that contains five deadly elements. So offense just isn't kind of by itself. It's made up of different elements. So these are the five that we see inside of offense. You'll see anger inside of offense. And it could be as, you know, small as being slightly miffed to full-on rage, right? It could be any degree of that. Offense can carry any of it. And a lot of times we say, I'm not angry, I'm just miffed, right? I'm not angry, I'm just ticked off, right? Well, those little tick off moments indicate that there's offense knocking on the door. Okay, and then the next one is bitterness. And again, this could be from light feelings of irritation to intense bitterness of soul regarding something or someone. It is contained inside of offense. The third one is judgment. And it could be from a casual opinion to severe bitter judgment. And often we will candy coat it by saying, oh, this is just discernment. I'm just discerning this bad thing about that person over there, when really it is rooted in an offense. And we try to put, you know, religious wording around it. Number four, unforgiveness. And it can be from like an unconscious lack of forgiveness. Sometimes we don't even know that we haven't forgiven, to a determined, I will not forgive, or I cannot, I will not. And then the fifth element is pride. And again, it can be from levels of mild condescension to blatant arrogance. But if you're offended with someone, you are definitely above them. Right? You have an opinion that is higher than them. You have esteem in yourself that is higher than the one that you are offended with. And so those are the five deadly elements of offense: anger, bitterness, judgment, unforgiveness, and pride. So that when you step into offense, you've actually transgressed in five different things. Now, I'm going to give you some examples, and some of you are going to chuckle a little because you'll find yourself in these. And the reason I wrote them is because I know these, okay? Okay, number one, I'm driving down the highway in the passing lane, and the car in front of me is not even going the speed limit. As a result, I am miffed. Why isn't the driver getting out of my way? Don't they understand that they cannot be in the passing lane if they are not doing the speed limit, and they need to move out of the way of those who are passing? They are doing this on purpose. I'm going to slam my horn. I'm offended. Now, I've actually never done that, but my husband have. So I've seen it. Okay, secondly, I'm in a restaurant and the waitress brought me the wrong order. She apologizes and explains that she will send it back and have the chef prepare the proper meal. Everyone else at my table has their meal and I'm in a hurry. I'm upset with the chef and the waitress for not taking care of me as they should. After all, I am a paying customer. And by the time I get my meal, others at my table will be finished and I will need to rush to eat my meal. What incompetence! I am offended. Number three, in my workplace, a promotion became available. A coworker with less experience than myself and who has worked fewer years with the company got the position. I want the position. I deserve the position. This is not fair. I'm offended. Number four, here's one. Here's a few. I had to include the church in this. I'm new to the church and have been faithfully attending for over 6 months, and no one has reached out to me. I feel rejected. I'm upset with the carelessness and the lack of love of the congregation and the church leadership. I am offended. Number five, I'm a gifted person and called of the Lord, but my pastor never makes room for me to fulfill my calling. I'm a worship leader and musician, but never get invited to the platform. I'm a preacher, but never am given the pulpit. My pastor should be making a way for me, and he is not. He is not mature in his calling, and as a result, cannot see my gifts for looking at them. I am offended. Number six, I should be affirmed and recognized by leadership in the church, but no one ever notices me. I'm not seen. I'm passed over. I'm offended. Seven, someone has been cruel to me and has hurt me to the core. I feel unfairly judged. I will carry it by myself and move on, but I can't let it go. I'm hurt and will avoid that person. I am offended. Number eight, I've heard that people have been talking about me when I'm not there. I'm offended. Nine, my boss didn't handle a work crisis in the way they should have. I'm offended. Number 10, I was sick and no one reached out to me. I'm offended. Number 11, I can't stand that political leader. I hate their policies, the way they speak, and the way they run their territory. They should never have been elected into office. I'm offended. 12, I'm caring for my frail mother and have no help from the rest of the family. I'm offended. 13, I'm angry at the point of view the person shared on social media. I disagree and hate their viewpoint. I will set them straight. I'm offended with them. 14, God did not come through for me. He should have, because his word says so. I am offended. I'm sure that we can find ourselves in all or some of those scenarios to some degree, okay? Some of them are a little bit exaggerated, but we know that these things show up in life. And we have a choice when we have opportunity to be offended, because some of these things I read are legitimate points. You know, there should be people who are more attentive in the restaurant, let's say. The chef should have paid more attention to the order. The waitress, you know, should have realized that there was something wrong. I mean, we can go on down the list and explain why we have a right to be offended, but because of the cross, we actually don't. You never have a right to be offended. Not with people. And we'll talk, break that down more later. People actually thrive on being offended. We can see that a lot in social media these days. It makes us feel more powerful and more important when we can be offended with someone else, because it puts you in a place higher than others when you are offended. The dangers of offense. First of all, let's look at the aspect of anger. It says in James 1:20 that man's anger will not achieve the righteousness of God. So you can get as miffed as you want, even to, you know, a rage, and it's not going to change anything. It won't achieve. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Secondly, bitterness. Bitter roots cause trouble and defile many, Hebrews 12:15 says. When you take up offense, guess what usually happens? It spreads, right? Because usually people who are offended don't even keep it to themselves. They can't even be just isolated in their offense. They end up sharing it with others. Oh, let me just tell you about, you know, this person who is mean to me, or, you know, this situation that came up, but it's just between you and me. It's just for prayer. Or I just need to process with you and you and you and you. And before you know it, that bitterness inside the offense has spread to other people. And how many of you have taken up an offense for someone else? Just because someone told you how bad they were treated by someone else, that you got offended with the person, and you weren't even the person who was hurt to begin with. Because offense is infectious. And we have a responsibility that when we get offended and we share that offense, we are spreading a virus, and it's deadly. And when they go back to ground zero for that virus, it ends with you if you've shared it. And so we need to be watchful over this. It says that bitter roots can cause trouble and defile many. Third, judgment. Now, the problem with judgment is Matthew 7:1-2 says that if you judge someone else, you will be judged by the same measure. The moment that you enter into offense over someone and judge a person, that moment that you choose that, you are setting yourself up to be judged by the same measure. And you might think, no, I've never done that. But you will, or you have and you just didn't notice it. You will be judged by the same measure. And it usually comes back to you greater than what you gave out. But I guarantee you it will come back on you. And so that should put the fear of the Lord in us, or the fear of consequence anyways. Okay, the fourth one, unforgiveness. The danger of being offended and unforgiving is that in Matthew 18:21-35, you can read the whole portion, it clearly teaches that if we are forgiven and we do not forgive others, then we are not forgiven. We will be put in a place of torment, and we will not be forgiven. We are forgiven as we forgive others their trespasses against us. And so when you're offended, you cannot be offended and forgiving at the same time. You cannot be offended with someone and forgiving them at the same time, because you're holding that offense. You're pushing it against them. You're charging them with something. And so therefore, you've entered into unforgiveness. When you enter into unforgiveness, you will experience torment. You are inviting it into your life, and you will not be forgiven. And even, you know, Jesus was the one who told this parable. And he said, and so the Father will do to those who do not forgive from the heart. That's heavy. Okay, and then fifthly, pride. Proverbs 16:18 says that pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So if you're offended and you've put yourself in that seat of pride, you've just set yourself up for destruction and a fall. I don't know about you, but I don't want any of these consequences. I don't want any of this in my life. I want to enjoy the fullness of all that God has for me. I want to keep my heart pure so that I can enjoy the fullness of God's goodness. Number six, offense harms relationships. That's another danger. It'll harm relationships, not only the ones that are between you and the person that you're offended with, but when you share it, it harms relationships. Whole churches can walk in harmed relationships. Entire families can have harmed relationships between one another because of one person's offense. That's how brutal it can be. Okay, number seven, when you are offended, it denies the gospel and its power. It hurts your Christian testimony. It hurts the demonstration of the character of God in your life. Number eight, it removes peace from your soul. You start losing your peace. That offense starts working inside of you, and the bitterness and the anger and everything that is inside that offense starts working against you. Number nine, it blocks blessings in your life. Now in 3 John 1:2, it says, "Beloved, I pray that you will prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." So God wants you to be blessed in every single area of your life. Every single area is to be blessed and healthy and strong and flourishing. But it's as your soul prospers. So if you've got offense within your soul, it will block the blessings of God from manifesting in your life. And a lot of times people say, you know, I never get blessed. I don't see the blessing of God in my life. I never get my breakthrough. I have to ask them, do you have bitterness in your heart? Do you have offense? Maybe you have offense toward God. Maybe there's offense at work within you that's blocking the blessings, because everyone should be receiving blessing from God. That's our inheritance in the Lord. And number 10, it affects mental and physical health. In fact, it is proven medically and scientifically that offense, which includes bitterness and anger and all the things that we mentioned, the five components of offense, those things actually influence your health. And severe health situations come about as a result of offense, and mental health and emotional health as well, because of lodged, unhealed, or unrepented of offenses. Now in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says that we're to watch over our heart with all diligence. Why? Because from it flows the issues of life. Now, I want to show you a little demonstration here. I want you to look at this. This glass is your life, okay? This is your beautiful life in the Lord. You're filled with His Spirit. The water in here is just the life that God has given you. It's so pure. It's so beautiful. It's so transparent. It's awesome, isn't it? This is your life in the Lord. Now, I've got a little bit of dirt here. I actually went to Bill and Lynn's garden yesterday and got some dirt, but the dirt was so healthy that it wouldn't do what I needed it to do. So they actually make their own compost, you know that? Like when they juice, they take all the compost and put it in, and then you blend up all your stuff and put it in the garden. That was just too healthy. It wasn't working for me. So Marcella and I drove out, and we asked a landscaper if we could have some dirt from the pile that he was using. He said, sure, you can have some dirt. So anyways, this dirt represents offense, okay? Offense is dirty. It's not part of your pure nature in Christ. It's part of the enemy's plan, and it is ugly, and it is evil. Now, this is what happens to this beautiful life when you put offense in it. When you let offense get in there, just a little bit of offense, look what happens. It taints who you are. And it didn't just go to the bottom of this cup. It actually affected all the water that is in it. Now, if I put another one in, that's going to fill more and more of my life with it. And another and another. Now, what if I just keep letting offense fill my life, fill my life, fill my life, fill my life, fill my life. The poison of that offense is going to be so full that I will not in any way be able to manifest the nature of Christ. You see how dangerous this is? Just even a little bit of offense will taint your nature. And it's not who we are. We're not called to be offended. We're called to live free of offense. And you will be tested on that. How many of you have been tested with offense? Okay, so let's look at what the Bible says about it. First of all, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13:5. We are going to just go through numerous scriptures on it because the word is your plumb line and the word is your teacher. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to what? Take offense. You'll notice that offenses are not given. You can't say someone gave me an offense. You took it. You chose to take it, right? Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take revenge nor bear any grudge. Bearing a grudge is an offense against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor, your acquaintance, your associate, your companion as yourself. I am the Lord. Proverbs 12:16, if you shrug off an insult and refuse to take offense, you demonstrate discretion indeed. But the fool has a short fuse and will immediately let you know that he's offended. Whoops. Proverbs 18:19, it is easier to conquer a strong city than to win back a friend whom you've offended. Their walls go up, making it nearly impossible to win them back. That's, offense is strong, isn't it? Proverbs 24:19, don't be angrily offended over evildoers or be agitated by them, okay? The world's full of evildoers, and we can get so riled and so offended over what the evildoers are doing that we lose our own peace and we lose our own purity. And I'm going to address this in a moment in the next scripture here. Ephesians 4:25-26, be angry. So it almost says be offended, okay? Be angry, but at what? At sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior. So it says, be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let your anger or your offense cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or an offense. A grudge is an offense, or nurturing anger, or harboring resentment, or cultivating bitterness. Isn't that good? So it says here that we are, in fact, to have a certain type of offense, but it's not at a person, it's actually at the injustice itself. So when we went over to Cambodia years ago, there was a lot to be offended at because little children were being trafficked. Little children, even infants, were being trafficked. And as we worked in it, we found out that not only were they being trafficked for sex, but for body parts. And they would kidnap children and then go and put them under anesthetic, killing them to take their body parts because the body parts were so, so valuable. Now, we can't sit back and not get angry at that. But if I were to get angry at the person who is doing it, if I were to hold offense against the person, it is not going to accomplish the righteousness of God. It's not going to get them saved. It's not going to, you know, it's not going to turn their life around. It's not even going to help the child. But if I get angry and offended at the injustice, then I can be the solution to the problem. And that's what we did. We started creating solutions to what we saw, to the harmful things, to the sinful actions, to the injustices that were going on. We started to become an answer for that because if you're not and you're holding offense against the people, there's absolutely nothing that's going to change. You'll just get more bitter. Now, let's read this again. This is, I think, one of the most key scriptures that we're going to look at today. Be angry, or you could put be offended, at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior, yet do not sin. Do not let your anger cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or an offense or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. The moment you put your foot in that trap of offense, you're taken down and you've got five transgressions on your record, just like that, at every single offense. And so we want to avoid that because it's not our nature. That's not who we are. Psalm 141:5, when one of your godly ones corrects me, or one of your faithful ones rebukes me, I will accept it like an honor. I cannot refuse. It will be as healing medicine that I swallow without an offended heart. Even if they are mistaken, I will continue to pray. Woo! How many of you love that one? Psalm 141:5. That's a good one to meditate on more. Psalm 119:165. There is such a great peace and well-being that comes to the lovers of your word, and they will never be offended. When you love the word, you walk with God. So how are we going to walk free from offense then? Let's just finish up here. First of all, make a quality decision to be unoffendable. Make it a goal. Say, I'm just unoffendable. I refuse to be offended. No matter what, I'm going to lean into my Christ nature. I'm going to move into my Christ-like nature, and I'm going to live the rest of my life with a goal to not be offended. And if I do slip into offense, I'm going to repent right away, get it cleansed, because I'm going to keep my life pure and clean. The nature that Jesus gave me, the nature that he put in me, I'm going to watch over that nature. Isn't it a good thing that we are of the nature of Jesus Christ, who never got offended with us? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you weren't on the cross offended at us. Because mercy triumphs over judgment. We sang about that earlier. Make a quality decision to live unoffendable. How many would like to make that decision for your life? Make that as a goal. About 10% of you. That's awesome. Pray for the rest of you, and I'll try not to be offended at you. No. Okay, secondly, this is a key to avoid offense, is to embrace the cross. The cross indicates death to self. Okay, now when you focus on your new nature, you give very little place, if any, to your old nature. And so when you gaze upon who you are in the Lord with the very nature of Jesus Christ alive within you, that is your true nature. That's who you are. You are full of love. You are kind. You are gentle. You are merciful. You are wise. You are righteous in all your behavior because you have the life of Christ on the inside of you. That's who you are. And so if you do slip into offense and find yourself there, you can get out of it real quick by embracing the cross and saying, no, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ in me. And I am unoffendable because he is unoffendable. And that unoffendable nature is going to show mercy right now and speak the truth. Amen. Number three, what does love look like? What does love look like? Because love is the opposite of offense, right? So what does it look like? And like I said, there's going to be times when you're going to have to identify things that you need to direct your anger towards so that you can be a solution. That's a loving thing. I mentioned about the trafficking that was going on in Cambodia. Every trafficker that I have ever met has their own story of brokenness and victimization and pain. And when you hear their story, you can show mercy to them. But before that, before you understand the whole picture, it's very easy to get offended with them. But if you remain angry at the injustice and at the sin, you can help the traffickers and the victims of those who are being trafficked. And you can have it all go to work. There is a solution that love can give in prayer. What does love look like? Maybe it means to lay your life down and pray for the one who has wounded you or hurt you or been unfair. And you pray them through and you pray for the blessing of the Lord on them. That's what love can look like. What does love look like? When you lean to love and ask the Lord, Lord, you are love. What would you do in this situation? Then you can partner with his goodness. You can partner with his goodness. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, I hear in the Christian community, especially the prophetic community, I hear revelatory information that is negative about a person or a group of people, you know, and then chatter gets going on that. And I'm thinking, God is not offended. He is not offended with anyone, and he loves, and he will not spread his... He will not spread things around. He's not going to spread things around when he's dealing with you or he's trying to love you into wholeness. He is not going to spread it around to people who will get offended at you. And I really do question some of what we call revelation. Sometimes I think it's just offensive perception. I just say be careful, because we are part of a prophetic community, and so we need to make sure the prophetic is uplifting and full of truth and not tainted with the flesh that has offense in it, or pride, or any of those five elements of offense. And then fourthly, direct your offense or your anger towards the unrighteousness and not the person. We discussed that already. That's out of Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is real. It is real and it's powerful. The wrath of God is powerful. The wrath of God is even necessary, but it's not towards people. It says it's towards all unrighteousness, all ungodliness of men. So if you can separate the person from the action, then you could be someone who helps others. And it could be in just the smallest little areas. I think I've shared this story with you before, but years ago in a church that I was attending and ministering in, there was a couple that came into the church, and I used their example here earlier, but they'd been in the church for 6 months and no one had greeted them really or asked them over to their homes or connected with them in any way. And they felt rejected. They felt hurt. And I think this can happen easily in any kind of setting, because we tend to be insecure and gravitate towards the people we feel most comfortable with. So we always have to, if we're going to be in love, we have to break out of that and reach out beyond our comfortableness. And I want to encourage all of you in Shiloh to do that and invite people over, get to know people, get out of your comfort zone. It is a little bit scary at first to reach out, but they came to me and they said, we're going to leave the church because, I mean, we've been here for 6 months. No one cares about us. We haven't had a call from the pastor. We haven't had anyone invite us out. We, you know, we're just not even being seen. And that was a very real, real pain that they were experiencing. And I was asking the Lord as they were sharing this offense. They were offended, definitely offended. They let me know that. And I was trying to think of how I could comfort them and help them. And the Lord gave me this. First of all, I said, first of all, I want to apologize because I haven't invited you out or connected with you yet. I'm so sorry about that. And, you know, why don't we connect? You know, so we worked with that. But I said, here's the other thing is I said, can I ask you a question? Who have you reached out to? Who are you inviting over to your place? Who are you connecting to? Who are you pressing in to love on? And they said, well, that's not up to us. We're the new people. It should be done to us. I said, that is possibly the best scenario, is that people would reach out to you. But if they're not reaching out to you, wouldn't it be better for you to reach out to them than to take offense? And they got it. The penny dropped. They got it. And they, every single Sunday, started inviting couples and families over to their home after church and sharing meal. Every single Sunday they did. And they started building beautiful relationship with people in the church. And they started attending everything and making a point of going and introducing themselves to others and just connecting. And they turned out to be some of the most popular people in the church. But not only that, they were by the board taken on as elders within 1 year. That is very soon after you start a church to become an elder. But they were so faithful and represented the nature of God in such a huge way that the pastor trusted them completely, and the board passed for them to become elders, which they were for over 25 years until they retired and moved out of that community and were pillars in that house. Pillars in that house. They were involved in every single thing that was birthed out of that house all those years. It's a good testimony, and it can happen with anything. You know, it can happen in any scenario. When you show the mercy of God, when you show the love of God, when you act on in the opposite spirit, when you act in the opposite spirit and do something creative for that which looks destructive to you, then you are manifesting the nature of God. If you just stand there and get offended, you're just manifesting ordinary human flesh. Now, Jesus died for that flesh, but it's nothing to brag about. Oh, yes, I'm a person who is easily offended. You know, that's nothing to brag about. You're just manifesting human flesh. And Jesus died for you. And he loves you. And he's not offended with your offense. But he's saying, I have a better place for you to live. I have a higher realm for you to walk in. I have better choices for you to make so that you can partake of my divine nature and build the world with a representation of who I am. How many of you want to be unoffendable? I know we've all got a long ways to go. Come on. I don't know about you, but I sure haven't arrived. And it's so subtle, isn't it? It's so subtle. We need each other. We need to help each other with this, because it's so subtle, sometimes we don't even know we're in an offense unless someone could point it out. Unless someone stops us in the middle of it and starts to explain it through, you know. But we will help each other. Why? Because the prize is worth it. To be like Jesus, it's worth it. To be part of that army that is fully consecrated unto the Lord and moving full force with him and being right with the commander in this hour, as we're going to see the world touched by God, the world is getting darker. Darkness and light have always moved together. Even in the dark ages, there was great light. Very little of it, but there was great light. And there were some people that chose that light in the midst of the dark ages. In the midst of Babylonian captivity, because of the sins of God's people that put them into Babylon, there was great light in the midst of it in a few believers that were consecrated unto God and refused to go any other way. And this is the hour that we are living in, where God is gathering those whose hearts are completely his, who will go with him no matter what. And it starts with these things. It's not about how will we ever die for the bigger issues out there if we haven't died to simple things like offense. We have to start strengthening ourselves in the Lord and in his nature, and it's beautiful. Can you imagine a world that is full of truth and full of mercy and kindness, and where no one's offended? That's called heaven. That's what heaven is like. And Jesus said to pray in this way: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No offense. And we can be a house that is unoffendable. Churches have a bad rep for offense. You just ask any pastor. You just ask any pastor about how often in a year they get hit with people's offense. In the workplace, you just ask any manager, any CEO. They'll be able to tell you a lot about offense. Anyone in leadership will be able to tell you about offense because the human nature just lets it rip. But we are not those of just flesh nature. We have Christ nature in us, and we're going to shine and be unoffendable. Father, we just thank you so much for your word, and we ask your word to convict us right now. Let the word convict you. Let's not leave here this morning without bringing our offense before the Lord and asking him to forgive us. It's so simple. You just acknowledge it. We humble ourselves and we acknowledge it. Say, Lord, I've been offended. I had a miffed attitude towards someone and even held someone in bondage because I was mad at their behavior and I made a judgment against them. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me for anger, for judgment, for pride, for bitterness, for unforgiveness. Lord, forgive me for all those components of offense. I ask you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and I call up in me that beautiful Christ nature that is full of love, full of your pleasure, full of your goodness, full of blessing, full of light and purity. No mud in the water. We just get rid of the mud in the water today. We just get rid of it, Lord, so that we can be pure and clean and beautiful again.
For more information, resources, episodes, and more, connect with us at patriciakingministries.com.